What are you drinking there, Kant?
I'm just drinking Amanzi. No, I'm joking.
You fucking dirty cunt. What are you drinking there? What kind of fucking froth are you having there, man? Loose.
Actually, because it's late and I want to have a good night's sleep, I'm actually having a, they call it a midi.
A what?
A midi, mid-strength.
Oh, a midi? So,
you get, you know, they give you a lot of shit. I don't want to drink no fucking mid-strength. It's, so basically when you go to footy games or rugby games, that's what they serve. They serve middies.
A midi? Is you a midi know, like... You let, a midi because, like... I'm gonna keep on its accent. Is a midi like 4% or like 4.5 or 3.5?
That's a full beer. Yeah, 3.5. And it has to be served... So if you're a common folk at like a stadium, like if you're not VIP or in a box, you can only drink 3.5 of alcohol because, you know, God forbid, you get a whole extra percent and...
They're gonna run wild and get in all the fucking plebs, the streets. They're gonna realize their oppression by the rich and just eat them. Seize the means of production.
So they're like, give them a little bit, just stupid, give them middies,
just like a little bit, eh?
Full strength price.
Oh, I love the Australian economics. I'm drinking an Argus. And Hermes Argus, and it's got like the little the Greek god Hermes in the on the top there. I don't know if you can see that.
Dude, hide that thing. Are they sponsoring us?
No,
this is free advertising right now.
I suppose it is free advertising, but I mean, only people in Greece are going to drink this fucking shit anyway, so it doesn't matter. so I wouldn't worry about it. Whoa, okay, tastes good. Taste real good.
Yeah.
Greek beer.
You're drinking beer where they don't even flush toilets. Imagine.
You know what? The Greek beer is actually quite good. It's not bad at all. Like Mythos and Alpha and Argus, they're all quite nice.
I know Mythos is a staple. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like every beer is like a loaf of bread. Like, I don't know how they pack so many carbohydrates, so much carbohydrates into one beer. Like, it's ridiculous.
The pedestal.
Anyway, we're back. The pedestal is back. Kanisha Twitter, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing the same that I was probably doing last week.
Okay.
That's any consolidation.
I thought you're going to be like super enthusiastic and be like, I'm doing so good. But no, you're like, no,
I'm good.
Plateauing, actually.
Wait, how come you're so hype? Oh yeah, because you've been partying like a 24-year-old.
Dude, I am. The last 2 weeks. I am 24 that's now. That's what happened. I became a 24-year-old again.
That's why.
I turned back the clock.
You party on a school night.
Dude.
You're on islands just renting villas up with people.
Dude, I was drunk on a Tuesday. Who does that? What kind of...
Why? For what? For who? For an award?
I was going for an award. No, it was just a thing happening on a Tuesday. And I found myself just drunk on a Tuesday. And I was like... What am I doing? Who is this person? I don't know who this person is, but I like him. I like this guy. And then the next morning, I hated that guy because I'm 28 and I can't drink like I used to. But it was fun. It's been a good time. It's been very, very cool.
Wait, so just explain this to us for those of us who went to uni, you included, and got jobs and now are wrestling. Just talk to me about, like, so what, on any date, it's going off. Just talk to us about living in, like, in a holiday destination. So every night it's going off.
Yeah. So what's the time now? So it's six. It's 6:08. If I wanted to get drunk with a group of people now, I could very easily do it. All I'd have to do is put on shoes and walk out the front door. I don't even have to put on shoes. I could just walk out the front door and find these people. It'd be super easy.
So there's just always someone who's willing to have a good time.
There's always someone having a party. It's kind of weird like that. I don't understand it. So I spoke to this one Greek person. And they were like, I was like, what's your favorite part of Thessaloniki? And they were like, well, listen, I hate this place. I need to get out of here. And I was like, why? And they're like, all we do well in Thessaloniki is summer and parties. And I was like, okay. So that's what they're kind of about here. Like, that's their vibe. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's been, so this is, that's kind of what it's been like. Do. Yeah. Look, I started my course. It's a very
deep course. So when is academia, you know, the reason you're here?
So it started this week.
Yeah, how's academia doing in this environment?
So yeah, so now I realize there's no more parties in LA because I can't keep up this lifestyle and then also pass my degree because like it's
okay, cool. So something to tuck it in.
Yeah, I'm doing deep shit, so like I can't fuck around.
Oh, okay, flex on us, all right.
Yeah, I'm just doing deep shit.
Yeah, so you're deep.
Yeah.
Deep like your Instagram photos. Nah.
Okay, that's gonna get cut. okay, so housekeeping.
Yes, take us back.
Yeah. So not much to talk about this week about housekeeping, but what you can mention is that last week you thought what's gonna happen in the debate between Biden and Trump. And I said it's going to be a good free-flowing conversation. And you said it was going to be Trump saying China for like an hour and a half.
I told you.
And you were correct.
In my spare time, I'm a political amateur analyst.
I mean, clearly.
As most people who have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
Trump will, I know Trump's strategy team. They're like, okay, cool. We're just going guns blazing. Like, what do you mean? Well, look, he's smarter than you. You fucked up COVID. Let's just go in there and let's just go guns blazing.
They started a racial war. Let's just go in there and be a bully. Let's just scream at him.
Let's just go in there. Let's blame China. Let's talk about his son, drug problems. Let's just go in. Let's go. That's how they did it. Well, the leader of the free world, the first national debate. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, no caps. Just go in there. Guns blazing. Blast.
Just hit it. Yeah. And dude. It's exactly what he did. And
that's all he did. Yeah. How does a presidential debate turn into your son? No, but your son.
It was kind of like being on the playground. You know when you said like, "Oh, my dad's granite from that TV show." It's like, "Oh, my dad's actually Randy Orton," and like those kind of conversations. Like that was what it felt like. It was like two kids on a playground, chucking mud at each other. That's the vibe I was getting.
Yeah, no. And look, I've got to say, like, obviously. American politics are, well, I'll ask you later why they're important, but in terms of just a comedic performance, Trump was immaculate. He was damn near perfect.
Give me your analysis. Is your comedic analysis.
His timing was impeccable, coming in at the right times, saying little things under his breath. He said one of the most genius things under his breath. The moderator, I forgot his name now, said, "Please let him finish." To which Biden said, "Look, he can't even let me do that." And he said, "You'd be surprised." I was like, genius.
That's smart.
And
that's
he said
funny.
It under his breath. It wasn't loud. He said, "You'd be surprised." Look, it's just like, how does this man do this?
I'm not here to allow you to glorify Trump, but also that was pretty funny. That was pretty hilarious. You did kind of nail that. And he was like an obstinate, facetious bully the whole time. Like he just sat there.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Trump has failed the COVID crisis. No, you failed the COVID crisis. Trump caused a racial war. No, you failed you started a racial war. Like it was like everything you did, you just sounded like a child.
It got to a point where Biden just said, "Come on, man, will you shut up?" It's like, He called the president a clown.
Yeah.
On national television.
On national television.
He didn't try to stop himself. He's like, "Clown, oh, sorry, Mr. President." He couldn't even realize who he was standing opposite to.
It's like, just like came out of it, like, "Oh, this shithead." It's like, "Oh, I mean, sorry, I can't say that. Sorry.
Oh, man, it was Trump. He's just too entertaining. And even as a result, like, I don't think many of us even bothered or got through the vice president debate. Because it was an actual political debate.
I tried to, right? So, I mean, I was way more excited about this debate even before the other debate because I knew this is where the legislation comes out and people are going to talk policy. But then after that first one, I was like, I don't know if I can concentrate the same kind of way. That first one was like a rap battle, like a your mama joke rap battle. And then this one is like kind of like what you thought it was going to be. And I was like, oh, now I expect a your mama joke rap battle for an hour and a half as opposed to what we got.
And I mean, even the first debate, it was just sort of like, oh, you guys like facts? Oh, well, we don't do facts. No, we're not going to do that.
Black Panther
we're just going to say outlandish to try to rattle our opponent. They should have just had a fact checker just in there. You know how like after the videos, there's all the fact checking videos you can check out on YouTube. They should have had someone there like live, just every, and you know, they did no commercial breaks. So there wasn't even time for like, hey, he lied about that. Hey, that's actually not true. These guys are just saying outlandish stuff. And a lot of it actually wasn't true.
And so
which I found just fascinating.
So the strategy there is like, I suppose it just lands and people can fact check them all they want after that. But it's already been done. It's psychology. Already landed.
I already did it. Exactly. Dude, it's like being it's so a comedian.
Smart. Yeah.
If I'm dealing with the truth, but a lie is funnier, I'll tell you a lie. My
God. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. But
exactly.
The one thing Trump did though, and I think it worked against him, was that obviously Biden did come with some ideas and some policies, which Trump didn't. He had no idea. And so he thought, let me just throw him off the rails the whole time.
100%.
Every time he says something, he says it back.
Just come in.
Be rude, whatever.
Just cause chaos.
And it just caused chaos. But I think he did it. He kind of cut off his nose to spite his face because he came off as such an asshole. Like you can really look at that guy and be like, I'm going to vote for that schoolyard bully, that child in an oversized coat and fake tan.
A like, lot of people.
But I mean, really though, like
a lot of people,
so many people I know will vote for him no matter what, but surely some people who are on the fence will see him and go like, I can't vote for that. Who's the bully in The Simpsons? That's who he reminds me of. That guy. That's what that Trump reminds me of now, because he just seems, you know what I mean? Like he's like a child. He doesn't actually know anything. So.
And what's this thing of them going to like, undecided voters and going, hey, yeah. So now that you watch this debate that wasn't really one, who are you going to vote for? And it's just like this half middle American guy's like, well, I didn't know what Trump was doing over there. I just think, you know, Biden had some points, but yeah, nothing's changed. I'm just like, what is this? What are we doing?
It's not bad. It's not a bad idea though. But I mean, surely, I mean, what is the thought of that though? Like an undecided voter in this situation, it's like, so before this debate, who are you going to vote? I mean, now who are you going to vote for after this debate? You go, you know what? I was okay with the him calling people the N-word, and he was okay calling a Muslim soldier, was it like a coward, and calling and imprisoning children and banning Africans and banning whatever. But that stuff he said upstairs at the stage, yeah, that was a bit weird. I mean, surely by the time you're like undecided voter now, you're going to vote for Trump because you have to have like half an IQ.
And I guess, what did we learn?
Tell me.
I don't think I learned a damn thing.
Not
other than the fact that I chuckled.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that I chuckled and, you know, even my Mrs. Mayor was like, I don't think you're meant to laugh at those things. I'm like, yeah, no. But it's just pure comedy.
Like, I can't help myself. I mean, it was funny. Yeah. It was funny. It was like,
I don't think I learned it. One thing that was fascinating was the sort of, I almost want to say the reaction to it was the only thing that mattered, or the only thing we can sort of take away from. You know, CNN sort of approached it from a really serious, like, this guy's clearly an idiot, doesn't know how to conduct himself, wasn't very presidential, like, how could you vote for him? Turn on Fox News with Hannity, they were like, oh, Trump obliterated Biden. He didn't have a single answer. He kept coming at him with questions.
Really?
They said it was slaughtering. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that how they spun
Trump
that?
Trump easily takes the first one. 100%. And then, these guys actually don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Then they interviewed his son for 45 minutes.
Whose son? Trump's like, son.
Trump's son. On Hannity. For 45 minutes. It's like, do you guys even care about objectivity at any...
Like, they're not even...
You literally got the guy's
anymore.
Son in here.
You got the guy's son to do the analysis. Like, it's like no one could be less objective.
I was like, you got a guy who should talk about his dad?
That's
after a presidential debate? You couldn't get a political commentator? Anyone.
Like his son. Like his son, dude. That is nuts.
Like the guy you had breakfast with in the morning. Come on, dude.
There's no... I mean,
the guy that like you prepped his notes with.
It's like, interviewing Hitler and getting Goebbels to do the analysis. It's like, this is the, these,
it just blew my mind.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
No, it's, it's quite a strong comparison there.
And then I guess also, I was also asking this question, why does it matter? Why do American politics matter? And not even like challenging your belief of why it matters, but like, why does it consume the media cycle?
Is it because media is America?
Yeah. From an international perspective.
I think
internationals listen to our podcast.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, on an international perspective, American news is world news, no matter what. If you go to any news site, there's American news, American politics, international news, international politics. That's how it works, because everyone wants to know what's happening in America. But then obviously there's so many other reasons with regards to the environment, whatsoever the American president's policies on the environment will obviously affect the entire world's policies. Obviously, fiscal policy will affect the entire world. When America catches a cold, sneezes, the whole world catches a cold. So I think there are reasons why it matters so much, the rest of the world, that we follow American politics.
So is that largely based on the fact that after World War II, America, you know, assimilated into the superpower? And as a result, you know, I guess all our mainstream media comes from America, right? Not just politics, sport, yeah, entertainment, right?
Everything.
It's so interesting, so that, like,
I suppose because they won the war, and they became one of the biggest superpowers after the war for a variety of reasons. It's actually super interesting. And also they won the Cold War, so they became the dominant force over Russia. So then the English became standard. So if I'm here, even in Greece, like I'm around all these students from all over the world, I'll be sitting here with like 15 people from name a country, from Nigeria to Brazil, to Belgium, to Turkey, wherever. They all speak English, and they all speak English to each other. Because why? It's not because they have to speak English. It's because if they ever wanted to watch a movie when they were growing up, they had to watch it in English. If they had to be on the internet, most of the internet is in English. They had to, you know what I mean? So, and that's because American, not just political power or economic power, but it's also its cultural power. America won the cultural war. So we all follow Hollywood. We all follow, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
That actually makes crystal clear sense.
Yeah.
And that's why their politics matter, because ultimately it will literally flow down, because they essentially set the standard of order.
100%. So what they say kind of goes in almost every industry, except for sport, because basketball is pretty popular around the world, but I suppose NFL and baseball, not so much.
Yeah, but like basketball is popular around the world, but American basketball players are celebrities. They're not basketball players. Like when they go to the Olympics, they don't hang out with the other Olympians. They're literally celebrities at the Olympics.
Oh, they don't, eh?
No.
Didn't they get a yacht or something at the last Olympics?
Yeah, in Brazil, they got a yacht.
And it's well,
just
the
because
yacht.
Like it's Brazil.
Yeah, yeah, okay, fair enough.
I'm just staying in a hotel in Brazil.
In Brazil?
Oh, bro, once I watched City of God, I was like, oh yeah, that's all in Brazil. Nah, I'm not going.
Never again, no thank you. Put me on a yacht where it's 100% safe. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. So there's something else I wanted to bring up today. And I want your opinion on this. This is the topic of the week. This is very serious stuff, and I hope everyone's ready.
Yeah.
No matter where you are in the world, no matter who you speak to, no matter what the conversation is, if you ask someone, are you good in bed? They will say yes, 100%. Well, not 100%, but most of the time someone will say they're good in bed. And there got to be some people who just aren't good in bed. It can't be just everyone's good in bed, because then you wouldn't have stories about people being shit in bed. I mean, I don't know. What's your opinion on this?
I need to be very careful about my words here, because, you know, I'm a man who loves my baby and who doesn't like to get in trouble. But I understand what you're saying. I want to tackle this more from the psychology of, why does everyone think they're good at shit?
Good at shit or good in bed?
I mean, both.
But the thing is, good
at bed work. No, okay, so let's, first of all, this was an idea we had, and we put a poll to you, the listeners,
yes,
devoted listeners, right? And what was the stats behind that? Nick, you've got the stats ready for us.
So I've got the stats for us right here. So of all the thousands of people that responded to that poll, 94% believe they are good in bed, 94%. And those who said they were not good in bed, when privately polled on that, they said it's because they're lazy. So they just don't like, they know they're not good in bed because they don't try. They just want to starfish it and just put their hands back and let that other person do their thing. Just put in that thing. 100%. Yeah, exactly. They don't want to put in the work.
I'm going to be here for you, but mostly for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right. So those who put in the effort believe that the efforts are just.
Yes.
At all times.
But the thing about sex is
that they're great in bed.
Yeah. The thing about sex is, which I find quite interesting.
What is the thing about sex?
The thing about sex is that, like, let's say who's the greatest.
It's really hard to get other people to do it with you.
Yes. No. Well, also that. I'm single, so yeah, it's difficult. But yes. when if you're watching the greatest runner of all time, you know,
yes,
it's Usain Bolt. It's like the greatest basketball player maybe at the moment. It's like Giannis Antetokounmpo or LeBron James.
Because we can stop it. Don't do that.
Maybe it's Giannis. I don't know. But we can watch them do it. Everyone can watch LeBron play and decide universally that he's the greatest basketball of all time because we can all watch them playing. Michael Phelps, greatest swimmer of all time because we can all watch him. We can see the times, whatever. Sex is probably subjective in itself, but also only one person at a time can give you a review. And at most of the time, no one else is watching you besides you and the person that you are actually having sex with. So it's very difficult to tell whether you're actually good in sex or not.
The confidence that people have around being good at bed, it's similar to like people that are good looking. You know, you get compliments all the time. That's how you know you're good looking, right?
Okay.
You get that confirmation. But with sex, it's like being ugly. You got to figure that shit out for yourself.
Yes. Okay.
No one's going to tell you that you're bad. And look, end of the day, no one's going to be out here living a life thinking they're shit at, you know, the most vulnerable, most enjoyable activity you could ever enjoy.
Like, no one would be bad at sex. Like,
No. Like, everyone's good at sex.
Everyone's good. I'm not good at jet skiing. I'm fine with that. I'm not good at fishing. I'm okay with that. But if I'm bad at sex, I'm like, oh shit, that sucks. You know what I mean? Like, no one's okay with like, oh yeah, I'm bad at it. That's fine. Like, I'm all right with that. Like, I need to get better at that thing. That's cool. You know, everyone wants to be good in bed.
Yeah. Especially, you know, male toxic masculinity. My dick's bigger than yours.
Exactly.
I last longer. She came. Like, it's all pride.
It's all pride. You know what? That's an interesting conversation in itself. Because there's like, how much emphasis on is it, like, when growing up, we first like watching porn or whatever. And it's like, oh, you got to have a big dick. And do you have a big dick? Because you actually don't know. Because you haven't seen like a lot of other dicks around. So you go like, you're trying to work it out in your head. Like, is this a big dick? And like, do you ever get the ruler out? You actually measure your penis? We never do that.
No, it definitely happened. Yeah. It was part of school. That's all they spoke about. It all boils down to, it comes back to that psychology of no one wants to think little or less of themselves. Good in bed. No, everyone's good in bed. Just let it exist.
Let that be a thing. Like, let that have that thought exist that everyone's just good in bed. But then if everyone's good at bed.
Well, at least everyone gets passing marks in bed.
If everyone is equal, some are more equal than others. So there must be, but then that becomes the norm. If everyone's good, now there must be someone who's better.
Oh, you want to talk about the elites?
No, I'm saying, but
like
now.
Professionals? Like, no, are you a professional in
bed? I'm saying if everyone thinks they're good in bed, you know what I mean? Is that.
But what if
that,
you're good to me?
Okay, that's a good point, actually, because I think. Probably
because where does the mean exist? Does the mean exist in terms of averaging out all the people you've been with, or does the mean average out to the person you're with at that time?
That's super interesting. Shit. Exactly. You just dropped some real knowledge there.
So therefore, we're all good in bed because at home I'm the best.
Yeah.
There's nobody better. There's never been. You know what I mean?
Sure. But, and I suppose maybe even two people who are really bad in bed, when together, somehow work on each other's movements and then become good in bed.
Exactly. You could both be the trashiest people, but you love each other to bits.
And therefore, that's
a good time.
That special connection.
Yeah. And therefore, you both finish, go home, go to your girlfriends, your lads. You're like, man, I'm killing it.
I'm the best.
Lost a second in there. You know how this works.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think so, dude.
Me and saying, oh, I was in there for hours. Damn, had to get a water. Same thing, same experience, same two people.
Yeah.
Conversation.
Maybe so that's
Look, hey, if my mother said to this, Mom, I am a virgin until I am married into the house of the Lord, and
okay,
you can't get into that as well. So
I mean, you must have been with your girlfriend for 9 years. So 9 years doing well, dude. Still a virgin. That's pretty good going. I'll be very, very proud of you, Lord.
Lord.
Yeah, Lord. Thank you for showing us the way, or to not to not sin. So maybe by your definition, 94% of our listenership are correct. And they're saying,
exactly.
And 94% we are good in bed, and the other 6% know why they're not good in bed, because they are self-confessed lazy people. And they actually don't have the time nor the want to be good in bed. All they want to do is either make their partner happy or make themselves happy by just lying there. So that's fine.
Exactly. There's no one's sad. No one lost.
It's 100% fine.
Everyone's good in bed.
This is like the
everyone's good in their bed.
In their bed, sure. And home ground advantage.
Yeah.
They're good in their bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's never an away game.
It's never an away game. It's always home games.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you do somewhere else? Game
unless you're,
away.
Yeah.
If you're like at a club and then you're now behind like a dumpster outside the club in like an alleyway, is that still a home game or is that an away game?
Oh, you're having a single conversation. I can't speak to that.
You can
speak to those things. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I've ever done that. I'm saying the theoretical dumpster outside a club in the alleyway, a hypothetical dumpster and club in the alleyway.
I think if you're in those situations, you're no longer keeping score. I don't think you're pulling up stats from that game. You know what I mean?
It's a friendly. It's a hey, we
let's
have a bit of fun.
We practice and now we're playing a team and we're keeping score and there's a scoreboard and there's crowd. And then there's, hey, there's some guys, let's play pickup. I'm in jeans and a t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like a quick game.
I'll take whatever I can from that game. If I play a shit game, play a good game, it is what it is.
Learn what you can from the game. Have a bit of fun. Get a sweat. But you're not...
Yeah. You're probably like having beers at halftime. You know what I mean? You take what you can from those games, but you're not about to value your worth. Come on now.
I must say, this is such a bullshit conversation, but I think it's so true. I think you've honestly, like, there's like a golden mean here. We've actually sort of nailed it. Because I think it's exactly what it is. All those, it's like shower sex. Shower sex is a friendly.
It's a
pickup game. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of the worst. Shower
sex, pool sex, liquids. No, it doesn't work. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
Movies lie to us. Pornographical films lie to us.
Yeah.
These are the things you learn as you grow.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, this is impractical.
It's like you want to have, when you're younger, you want to have sex like in a car and on a mountain and in a circus, wherever you can have sex. Then you get older, you realize, no, just have sex in a bed. It's the best place. It's the best place
you
have sex.
You take inventory. You take inventory. You grow up, you're a kid, and you realize it's probably not practical to put a penis in a woman's ass. It's not a thing. It shouldn't be done. And you take inventory as you grow older, and you go, no, that makes no sense.
It's the dream for a while. It's the dream for a while. It's like.
But it's based on the unknown.
Yeah, it's like, why in every porter, like, must the guy finish on a girl's face? That's not good for anyone. Why is that happening? I'm so confused.
I have no idea. But that could now, if you want to talk about that, we can come back into toxic masculinity.
Okay, so now it's like a Freudian
dominance.
It's like a Freudian dominance. Okay, no, 100%. I feel you.
Yeah.
But also
it comes into sort of the most primal primal instincts of our nature.
Like, what a weird thing.
Just sad.
It's like, it's nowhere near as good as I don't want to use any rude words here, ejaculating in places, in other possible areas.
In the designed area.
In the designed area.
Like literally designed area.
The one that God said, this is where,
this yeah. is
the portal for, yes. Yeah.
Portal of life.
Portal of life. This is where life exactly. goes in and comes out. It's yeah. It's like a microwave for life. You put in the food and you put it in there for a little while that it comes out.
No, don't say microwave. Don't do that. Don't say microwave. Don't say that. At least an oven.
I think it kind of makes perfect sense. It's a microwave.
No. At least an oven. No, a microwave is 2 minutes. This is 9 months you're talking here, bro.
9 months is not that long, dude.
It's at least, no, it's at least an oven. Maybe even like those ideal smokers.
9 months. Ding. Baby, come on. Bang.
No. You're crazy. They're going to come for you. They're going to come for you now.
Is it rude? Is it rude?
No, I'm getting a new host. You're done. They're coming for you. You play.
Am I being cancelled?
Ladies, I said oven. I meant state-of-the-art oven. If you were ever going to compare it to making food, at least an oven, you've got to prep. It's got to preheat. It takes time.
I don't think it's rude to compare a vagina to a microwave. I don't think it's rude to do that. I think vaginas can be compared to microwaves, and I will.
Oh.
I'll state it right here.
What? So a vagina is a microwave.
But it's not a microwave. It is like a microwave. In terms of the mechanics of what we're talking about, you put something in for a certain amount of time, comes out the desired product. That makes perfect sense.
We've got to be a bit more elegant. We get an oven or maybe a smoke. You know those big smoking barbecue things.
Okay, maybe a big.
You know the guys wake up early in the morning.
Yes.
And they make him for like, you know, or poiki at least.
Maybe
you know,
poiki. Poiki, that's disgusting.
Poiki takes a whole day.
I compare a poiki pot to a womb. That's disgusting.
I'm talking about the prep it takes to complete the meal.
Just not
why
that
is
much
a poiki
prep,
disgusting?
Hey? No, just the thought now of it, that is disgusting, dude. At least a microwave is clean. You put the thing in there and then you close the door and you set the time and it comes out fine.
What's wrong with a poiki?
With a poiki, there's too much stuff in there. That's disgusting. No.
What do you mean?
No. Maybe.
It's a stew.
Why
are you hitting on the poiki?
Are you a stew, dude? No, you're not a stew. That's not. I refuse to buy by that.
Yeah, you're made of many things. You're multifaceted. It's a poiki, bro. Why are you hating?
No, that's disgusting. What's the penis then? The penis is like the packet of microwaving pizzas or something. I don't know. I'm trying to work out what the penis involvement in the situation is.
I don't know. Just like a frozen TV dinner.
A frozen TV dinner.
No, not even.
A frozen lasagna.
No, like I said, I think we had this conversation before. The penis is such a useless thing.
It's not the most functional. It's like the vagina does so much, dude. It does like a lot of stuff. It like cleans itself, creates life. It has like 16 different spots that can give a person 16 different orgasms. And the penis just ejaculates and urinates.
It's like Dave Chappelle when he makes that joke about how he performed for these drug dealers and he had $10,000 on a subway and he was freaking out like, imagine if people knew what I had in my bag right now. They'd kill me for it. And then he realized that's what it's like being a woman. Nick, any closing statements?
Hey guys. So if you made it this far, thank you so much. We will be releasing merch very soon. No, I'm kidding. Are we going to release merch soon? Are we about to do that?
Yes, we are working on it right now. We're working on our bank accounts to afford it.
It's been a few years.
We're working with management on getting approvals on the designs.
Okay.
But I do have a supplier on at least here in Perth.
Okay, fantastic.
And we will be attending the Perth podcast festival.
That sounds pretty interesting.
If you guys in Perth, come check us out. That's on the 11th of November.
Amazing. That'd be
really cool. Come through. We're gonna be there talking to a bunch of podcasters, guys from ABC broadcasters. So it's just be a good opportunity to network, get guys into the podcast, share ideas and things of that nature. I don't know if this is the episode I'd recommend, depending on what has and has not been cleared and approved to make it to the pod.
We'll see what the producer says.
But Perth podcast 11 November, I think it is.
Okay.
Wednesday, 5:30 to 7:30. I'll be there. So, yeah, guys, definitely come say hi. Come check us out.
Okay. So, covered a lot today. But I think we should end it here.
Yes, let's.
Goodbye, Marlo. Bye, Marlo. Bye.
For those of you listening to the podcast, Melo just joined us. She's waving. It's past her bedtime, but she just wanted to come check the pod, see Uncle Nick, and say goodbye to all the listeners. Thank you guys for listening. Guys, yeah, so we did just launch on YouTube, so make sure you check us out there if that's your preferred medium. Like, comment, subscribe. That does really help us out with the algorithms. We also Social Dilemma. And if you made it this far through this podcast, thank you
for getting
so
through.
Much for listening.
Appreciate. Cool.
Appreciate you.
Cheers.
Cool. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye bye.
The pedestal.
The pedestal.
The pedestal.
Out of 100.